from the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean. Good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, open lines for you. And happy birthday to our affiliate, WHAS 840 AM in Louisville, Kentucky, 95 years old. Wow. Here's what's happening. More than 70 years ago, a couple left their home in the Swiss Alps to milk their cows. They were never seen again. Last week, a melting glacier led to the discovery of two bodies near a ski lift by a worker for a resort company. The bodies were lying near each other. It was a man and a woman wearing clothing dating back from the period of World War II, according to the glacier director. They were perfectly preserved in the glacier, and their belongings were intact. Something happened to them then, 70 years ago. North Korea's latest missile test launch showed that the rogue regime now has the range to hit the U.S., although North Korea does not have yet the guidance technology to ensure such an attempted strike could be aimed accurately, according to a top U.S. military official. Let's check in with Dr. Jerome Corsi from Infowars.com. Jerry, is this the lull before the storm with North Korea?
I think it is, George. This is going to shape up to be a major test for the Trump administration. I mean, coming off of a failure to get Obamacare repealed and replaced, now we've got the question of North Korea and what are we going to do to contain North Korea. I continue to say military options are very, very dangerous. We certainly don't want a long-term land war with North Korea. So the Trump administration is really up against the wall. What are we going to do to stop North Korea? And how do we have limited military action that would be effective?
And we're going to have to do something eventually, because this guy is threatening all kinds of heinous things against us, Jer. I mean, it'd be different if he was praising the United States, saying we just want to enter the new field, but he's not doing that.
Well, and George, I commend you on your coverage of this, because it's a coming crisis, and it's not going to go away. North Korea is going to continue to push the envelope, and eventually the Trump administration is going to have to do something. The only real solution is going to be a military strike, hopefully a limited military strike, but I'm very doubtful that's going to stop North Korea. It may just empower them to feel really determined to continue developing nuclear weapons, because we've demonstrated our aggressiveness.
The only way it's going to stop if we don't do anything is a coup from within North Korea with some of the generals who may want to get things straightened out with us.
Well, and George, that's a very hopeful solution, but I don't think it's realistic given the authoritarian nature of North Korea. Any generals who would attempt a coup are going to risk their own lives.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to come down to a military solution, whether we like it or not. And I just hope the Trump administration has the ability and the wisdom to figure out a way to do a limited strike that will be effective, but I'm very doubtful it could be.
I agree with you, Jerry. Thank you. Dr. Jerome Corsi. Healthcare reform legislation again fails to pass in Congress, casting further doubt on whether the Trump administration will be able to progress to tax reform, infrastructure improvements, banking regulations. And the U.S. dollar, that tracks the greenback's strength against major currencies, slid to a 10-month low in the wake of the setback to President Trump's agenda. First, Dr. John Curtis, onlinecolumnist.com. John, they're coming out of the woodwork, and we're not getting anything done in Washington.
Well, I mean, this is just complete gridlock right now. You got this FBI investigation just looming, and no one knows when the boom is going to be lowered. But here's the deal. I mean, Trump had this great meeting on the Steel Day with Emmanuel Macron. He got along great with him. French president. He's one of the most liberal members of the European Parliament. I mean, France, a big supporter, major supporter of the Paris Accord. And yet, he got along great with Trump. He enjoyed the meeting. Trump enjoyed the meeting. He came away from it saying, you know, we're going to really look at this a little bit more carefully and see what's good for us, and we'll get back to you on the Paris Agreement. The point is, it's not covered in the media. So everything that's covered is negative about Trump. Now, you know, Jerry was talking about, you know, this North Korean situation, and which is looming also.
Oh, this is huge.
It's big because this man, this lunatic, has threatened to annihilate the United States. That's a lot different than if the guy's developing some kind of nuclear technology or even bombs that he is not going to, you know, promise to use against the United States. Trump has an obligation under U.S. National Security's Commander-in-Chief to prevent this guy from getting a warhead with guidance that can hit the United States.
Well, let me ask you this, John. What do you think Vladimir Putin would do if somebody like Kim Jong-un threatened to annihilate Russia if they got nukes? What do you think he would do?
Well, I think what we know what he would do. I mean, they put down the hammer on him. Now, here's a development, and he would potentially attack Kim and hit him very hard. Now, here's a development that people aren't even reporting. Today, over the wires, it said that China has stopped oil shipments to North Korea. They are now in panic over there, and this is over their nuke and ballistic missile program. So, you know, all you hear in the media is how ineffective the Trump administration has been. That's the Secretary of State Tillerson and James Mattis, the Defense Secretary, in terms of having an impact on North Korea. This is about as much of an impact from a foreign power as you can possibly have. Now, whether that brings North Korea to the table or not, no one really knows. But what I do know is that Trump is facing right now a major defeat on health care.
Yes.
Now, part of the reason he's facing that is because the GOP program to repeal and replace is garbage, and everybody knows it, including people within the GOP. So I think what should have happened a long time ago is let the Republican plan, fall by the wayside, and let these Democrats and Republicans afterwards come together and fix Obamacare so they don't have these massive price hikes. And that's the most simple thing they can possibly do, because they can legislate price controls on Obamacare.
Well, we got to get things going, though, John. Dr. John Curtis, onlinecolumnist.com. But now let's get the views from Howard Bloom, the liberal. Go ahead, Howard.
Well, of course, it all depends on who you're asking as to how, at this point, Donald Trump is doing. And today, in a press conference, Sarah Huckabee Sanders told us that Donald Trump is doing extremely well. She said that under Trump, the stock market is up to record levels, ISIS is suffering defeats, and the economy is adding jobs, and all of that is true. As the president pointed out in a tweet tonight, since he's been in office, the Dow Jones Industrial Average has gone up 18%, the NASDAQ has gone up 21.5%, and the Standard & Poor's has gone up 14.9%. Once more, under Barack Obama, the Dow never went above 20,000, and now under Donald Trump, the Dow is dancing above 21,000, which is astonishing. But guess what? The Dow Jones Industrial Average tripled under Barack Obama, and that's going to be a record that's hard to beat. Now, Huckabee is also right that the economy has added jobs, but there's a problem there, too. The economy produced more jobs per month under the last months of Barack Obama than under the first months of Donald Trump. Now, as for the ISIS defeats, those were produced by a very wise move on Donald Trump's part, leaving the military offensive that Barack Obama had pieced together in Iraq and Syria alone. But your two previous guests have touched on the fact that there is a much bigger problem for Trump's report card after his first 179 days in office. There are two big blows that have hit in the last 2 weeks. Blow number one is Donald Trump Jr.'s meeting with Russians at Trump Tower in June 2016. Mm-hmm. No one has pinned any nefarious subject matter on the meeting, but the Trump family story on who was at the meeting has been changing every single day. First, it was a tiny meeting with just Donald Jr. and a Russian lawyer who nattered on about adopting Russian orphans for 20 useless minutes. Then it grew. It was actually about lifting sanctions against Russia, and as of today, there are new participants coming out every day. There are 8 participants as of today, including a Russian accused of money laundering and another Russian who was part of a military counterintelligence unit. Not to mention Donald Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, and his campaign manager, Paul Manafort. Now, you don't get heavyweights like that to a meeting in the middle of an intense campaign, the campaign of your life, if it's about orphans. But it's not just the meeting that's damaging. It's the daily revelation that yesterday's version of Donald Jr.'s story wasn't true. But the real big crisis is the one that you've alluded to a couple of times today, the failure to repeal and replace Obamacare. Now, says President Trump, the collapse of repeal and replace is not his fault. It's the fault of the Democrats. But 2 months ago, Ann Coulter, one of Donald Trump's biggest supporters, raised a crucial question. Trump had promised us that he was the world's ultimate negotiator, the ultimate artist of the deal, and the ultimate closer. But said Coulter, and this is a quote, "It has been such a disaster so far. I think all of the Trump true believers are petrified. This is the great negotiator. Where is the great negotiation?" An anti-Trump publication, The Atlantic, published an answer to her a few hours ago. Quote, "6 months into his presidency, the president has squandered his reputation as a dealmaker and spent away whatever political capital he had at the start of the presidency. Even worse, he has no major legislation to show for it," close quote. In other words, the president and his spokeswoman give Donald Trump an A. The anti-Trump media gives Donald Trump an F, and apparently so does one of Trump's biggest supporters, Ann Coulter.
And in the meantime, we're not getting anything done. Howard, thank you so much. So that's Howard Bloom's perspective. Arvin, California, and the Central Valley of California, hundreds of wells that provide water to 1 million people are tainted with a chemical that some experts say is one of the most powerful cancer-causing agents in the world. The state is poised to take the first step to regulate the substance called 123-TCP, but test data compiled by an activist group show that it's also been detected by utilities across the country. Some who live in the lush farmland area believe it's to blame for the health problems of their family members and neighbors. TCP has been used in plastic products. Dow Chemical and Shell were in that area years ago. And almost one-third of the U.S. population, that's 100 million people, either has diabetes or its precursor condition known as prediabetes, according to a government report. Diabetes is a serious disease that doubles the risk of early death. Complications can include blindness, heart disease, stroke, kidney failure, and amputation of fingers, toes, and limbs. Up next, August 21st, right around the corner, the solar eclipse, and astrologer Mark Lerner joins us to talk about that on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. August 21st, the solar eclipse, where the moon travels between the Earth and the sun and blots out the sun for a couple minutes. Mark Lerner began his astrological studies in New York City back in 1972. Mark's Earth Aquarius News website represents merging of astrological wisdom and late-breaking reporting of his online newspaper format. Mark has done thousands of astrological consultations during more than four decades of professional work, a regular here on Coast to Coast, and here he is to talk about the solar eclipse. And later on, we'll take your phone calls. Time permitting, we'll take a few readings about you, too. Mark, welcome back.
Thank you, George. Great to be with you.
First of all, we warn everybody, do not look at the solar eclipse with the naked eye. Please.
Right. Although now, if people should get, if they can get a copy of the Astronomy magazine, which is my favorite as a magazine, the August edition, and they've actually, for many, many, even decades, a lot of the astronomers didn't totally understand what would cause blindness, you know. And now one of the editors talked to somebody else and said, when the eclipse is actually happening, depending on where you are in the United States, it can run from a little less than 2 minutes to a maximum about two minutes and 40 seconds if you're on the path of totality. They're saying you can look at everything going on at that point, but you can't look at it. And for the people in the partial area, which is 95% of the United States, you don't want to be looking at the sun. So people do have to be very, very careful.
Yeah. And you know what? Parents need to tell their kids this, too, because
Absolutely.
As a little child,
yeah.
You know, they may see something strange up there and just keep staring.
Well, that seems to me one of the more important things. And because this is, with all the news now, internet, cell phones and everything else, young people who never would even be aware of these things could be on their own. You know, they might not be around people who are able to say, you know, from the scientific angle, don't look up at the sun. And so you're exactly right. This is a big concern, I think.
Astrologically speaking, Mark, tell me about the importance of eclipses.
Okay, well, historically, again, I mean, not just eclipses where you have a new moon and, as you put it, the shadow of the moon is falling on a particular path on the Earth. It only can happen a total solar eclipse at a new moon, whereas what most people have experienced, because it affects half the planet, is a total lunar eclipse, okay, where in that case, the Earth's shadow is passing on the moon at a full moon.
And those you can look at.
Yeah, and historically, you see, most people and cultures, if we go back in time, shamans and civilizations, I mean, the understanding of eclipses goes back thousands of years. This is what's amazing. I mean, the astrologers, astronomers, and the sky watchers of Babylonia, there are records that go back to 750 B.C., and they were able to actually figure out over the centuries. I mean, think about it. They weren't dealing with all the crazy other problems that our modern civilization is dealing with and all the inventions. So they were staring at the skies, you know, for thousands of years. And so it was like a marvelous pageantry of the heavens. But fundamentally, what most people experience, and it would be a frightening thing, would be an eclipse of the moon, okay, a full moon, and suddenly out of nowhere, and people would be frightened. So over the course of time, for the field of astrologers in trying to help people, certainly in the last 2,000 years, eclipses have seemed to be times of fear, okay? In other words...
You mean people were afraid of the eclipses?
Well, because, well, I mean, if you think about cultures, I mean, you go back in time, and then these stories would pass on. In fact, there's in the Astronomy magazine, one of the recent issues, they talk about Herodotus, the Greek historian, reported a situation where there was a battle going in like 575 BC. It was a five-year fight, and then they didn't know that there would be an eclipse, and they were fighting, and suddenly the sun's energy was blotted out, and they saw this as an omen to stop fighting, and then there was a marriage between the daughter of one side and the son of another, and they made peace. I mean, that was a rare example, but the point is that people did go blind and stuff, and so that was part of the thing, is that people didn't understand, they couldn't stare when they would be seeing that, because you can't, of course, look directly at the sun on a bright day, but if there's an eclipse happening, suddenly it's like, wow, this is amazing. But because over the course of centuries, people might go blind or other things, it became kind of like the gods are angry with us kind of thing. Therefore, all these kind of superstitions and omens would be passed from one generation to another.
Anything dramatic happen to humanity during eclipses?
Well, absolutely. Part of it is the path of totality. That's what I'm writing about with my article. We haven't had one across the United States for 99 years. We haven't had one even partially around the United States since late February of 1979. And Astronomy Magazine and so many different groups have been promoting this for well over a year. Okay, and what's my concern is you're going to have tens of millions of people all racing to get to these areas in Oregon and Wyoming and throughout the United States, Nebraska, Illinois, Missouri, all the way through to South Carolina, and including four major capitals. And already there's alarm bells ringing up here where I am in Eugene. The front page of the newspaper, when I wrote my article, the next day it said eclipse apocalypse, and they keep warning about millions of people. You see, on the West Coast, because Oregon is the only area of the path of totality, you got 20-plus million people in California, you got another, whatever the number is, in Washington, and Oregon is a big state, but it has a smaller population. And they're expecting a couple million people to double the population.
Oh, easy, there. Yeah. I think so, too.
So these highways, like all these interstates... And then, again, you know, we know about things like the opioid crisis. We know about, like you wrote up about children. A lot of people, just like Las Vegas used to be gambling, now it's, you know, kids going with their families. A lot of people might hop in the car. It might be X number of hours and say, hey, let's go see that eclipse, you know, and they don't realize there will be traffic jams. You know, are they going to have enough provisions? A lot of stores are going to run out of water and things. And then once the eclipse is over, a lot of people say, okay, well, that's it. Let's get back on the road, and you're going to have millions of people instead of hundreds in a lot of small towns. There's a small town in Oregon in the desert area that has a population of 6,000. Guess what? They're expecting 100,000
wow.
people.
Mark, stay with us. We're going to take this quick break. We'll come back and talk more. Plus, I want to talk about your article, Eclipse Catastrophe. Oh, what's that all about? Okay, welcome back to Coast, Mark Lerner, the astrologer, with us as we talk about the August 21st upcoming solar eclipse. We'll take your calls next hour. Mark, on your website, of course, earthaquariusnews.com, you've got an article that is called Eclipse Catastrophe. Tell me about that.
Well, I've been thinking about this because I knew it was happening, and the magazine I get and just the software I have able to look forward in time when it advances.
You're scaring us, though.
Well, the thing is that, again, kind of a catalyst was the local paper here. Weeks before I actually wrote my article, it was more of the up here in Oregon, the what's called ODOT, the Oregon Department of Transportation, put out a warning saying everybody's got to start getting prepared for this thing. Now think about this, George. This is hitting 12 to 14 states from Oregon through South Carolina, and there's this path of totality of about 70 miles, which is the main sort of area that people are going to be going to, and they're going north and south. And it's estimated that 40% of the American population are within about 300 miles of this area. Now, all the campsites.
I'm going to be going out to St. Louis to see this.
Okay, so, but here's the thing. What I've put together in my article, I don't want to spoil it for folks, they can read it whenever they want, but basically, I mean, first of all, Mercury is going to be retrograde, and you know, everybody's heard about Mercury retrograde every couple of months for several weeks, and Mercury retrograde can increase traffic problems, communication things, just all kinds of things going a little bit kafooey. Now, in addition, what's going to happen, this is part of my specialty in mundane or Earth or world astrology, the charts of countries, the charts of the President of the United States and other world leaders, everybody gets affected. It's not just the path of totality. So the astronomers and the scientists are saying to everybody, oh, this is a once-in-a-lifetime thing. It's going to change your life. Now, what's happening is astronomers are used to, for the last, you know, for decades, if not 100, 200 years, to go around the planet, bring, you know, lug all their equipment, hope that the skies are not cloudy with thunderstorms,
right,
which would destroy everything, and they would start getting spectacular results. And we've only had fantastic photography that you can put onto telescopes and so on for just, you know, so many decades. But what's going to happen is, as I talk about with you and with the listeners many times, there's a chart for America, July 4th, 1776, the birth of our country, other national charts, but particularly ours, because the path of totality is here. There are all kinds of planetary, shall we say, conflicts that are going to happen, not just on the day of the eclipse, but in the couple of weeks before. And then what's most alarming to me is something that astronomers and, well, mostly astrologers have looked at, which is, when does the planet Mars, which is a traditional planet, when it's negative of war and volatility, when does Mars, after an eclipse like this, reach the eclipse point? And Mars has a cycle in our zodiac or our calendar of about 2 years. So any time of 2 years after the eclipse, Mars could hit this point. But guess what, George? It happens 13 days later, which is on a Sunday, September 3rd. So we only have to wait like less than 2 weeks after the eclipse, and suddenly Mars reactivates that point. And then, this is very rare, Mercury, that same planet that will be retrograde, will also activate the eclipse at the same place. So we have a very unusual thing that none of the astronomers are into or even care about because they're not astrologers. But astrologers would look at these charts and say, wait a minute, we've got the day itself and whatever could happen in the United States affecting national security, power failures could happen, you know, criminals. I mean, do you remember when we were growing up, okay, 50s and 60s, 70s, you'd always hear like, and this would be terrible stuff, the Memorial Day fatalities and accidents or the Labor Day statistics. And I used to be very concerned as a kid. You know, in those days, you'd have Walter Cronkite, you'd have newspapers, they say, well, a terrible toll. There's been, you know, 450 or something, you know, calamities around the country. Now, that was during like a three-day, you know, holiday. We're going to have a situation that we've never had. in the history of this country because of all the communication of telling everybody, oh, you got to feed this thing, you see?
And there's going to be videos and pictures and everything sent all over the place.
Right, and my concern is mostly, again, aside from things like, you know, what, you know, lenses and things so that you don't hurt your eyes and other kind of things, is that, okay, you've already got all these people who have planned sort of very wisely ahead. You've got a lot of scientific people. I mean, some of the astronomers, they've actually charted a plane, I think it's Alaska Airlines, to be in the air, like over between Oregon and like as if they're going to Hawaii. So this has never happened before that a plane, a commercial aviation system has said, okay, we'll take you on board, and they're going to get phenomenal pictures that way. But my concern is like once this 2+ minutes are happening all across the United States and people say, okay, let's start leaving, okay, and then it starts becoming back to a kind of partial eclipse, and then it becomes a regular day. And remember, the stock markets are open. This is going to happen between like 10 in the morning and 2, 3, 4.
Well, what's your concern? Do you think the world is going to shut down for 2.5 minutes?
Well, let me give you an example. Bloomberg just wrote it. There was an article. See, gradually the scariness of this is coming about. Okay, remember solar energy panels, solar farms, and so on? The entire solar energy, it's as if like there's going to be kind of a short-circuiting from that standpoint of the sun during the daytime when these farms...
But it's only for a couple minutes.
It doesn't matter. It's kind of like, you know what all the fairs...
I mean, it's like nighttime, right?
Right.
The sun goes down.
During the sunspot thing, over all that cycle, about solar flares, 1859,
sure.
Horrible thing. With
we talk about it all the time.
So, okay, the article just came out a couple of days ago, and I put some information about it at the end of my feature. What they're talking about is certain thousands of megawatts of power, okay, that normally is going to be lighting up and electrifying different communities, and particularly in North Carolina and New Jersey, which are increasingly dependent on solar energy, there could be these kind of shortages. Now, the markets are also going to be open, and the article is talking, because it's Bloomberg, which is more financial, that during the actual time of the eclipse, that there's going to be kind of potential panic buying and selling having to do with different kinds of wholesale prices of energy. Now, that's just an example of something that we might not have anticipated.
So panic over the solar eclipse for 2.5 minutes.
Because also 95%, the other 95% of the country, if you add up the path of totality going from Oregon to South Carolina, it's about 4.5% of the landmass of the continental United States. The other 95.5% will be in various dosages of partiality. But get, like, for instance, we're in Eugene. Okay, we're a little bit south of the line. This will be like 98% to 99% of totality. Portland, Oregon will have 99%. So a lot of places that are not on the line, you got all these people. And remember what you said at the beginning, if it's a partial eclipse, people might be prone to look up and say, hey, wow, this is pretty cool. And if they don't even know, they haven't been in the loop about it, they could get really hurt. But my concern really is the aftermath astrologically of cycles. Like, for instance, that week, okay, not on August 21, but by the Friday of that week, August 21 is a Monday, the planet Saturn will be what we call stationary. Okay, that's a thing that astrologers are concerned about when planets appear to have no motion. Now, if you look in our actual, what we call the ephemerides, to look at is a planet not moving or not, really the whole week of the eclipse, from that Monday onward, this planet, that positively Saturn can be helpful. It has a lot to do with responsibility and hard work and leadership, executive authority, and so on. But the shadow of Saturn, or the negative side, has always been fear, chronic problems, and things like frustrations and limitations, and eventually things that, I mean, could lead to pessimism and people becoming depressed. So my concern is things like, again, people who require medicines and who might run out, okay, and then they're on these highways, right, and there's gridlock all over the place, and people didn't necessarily prepare for things. And then I'm saying 13 days later, which is the Labor Day time period, when we already have the normal worry about people, you know, kids are going back to school, there have been throughout the whole summer. You got people vacationing all over the place, plus the eclipse is happening, and Mercury's retrograde until September 5, from like August 12 to September 5. Saturn's not moving, and the American chart is affected, and the president's chart is very difficultly affected. I mean, hopefully he'll be okay in terms of making wise decisions. But I'm kind of concerned that due to things like cyber security, maybe nefarious groups or individuals might want to take advantage of this. Because
well, that's a real possibility. I was thinking about that, too.
See, and here's the thing. This is what bothers me. I love Astronomy Magazine. I love astronomy. I was reading part of your biography about Walt, the book you read when you were young, Walter Sullivan.
Yep.
And
are not alone.
Yeah, and when I was a kid, I got Willie Ley books about spaceships and all this other stuff, and you know, all those movies in our childhood, you know, The Day the Earth Stood Still, you know, The Thing, and so on and so forth. So the thing, for me, I love astronomy, I love everything about the space age and growing up with all of that, but I just think in this particular case, part of the history of eclipses is that this was really for shamans, for people who are really into it. And also, solar eclipses, you see, have a narrow path. It's not meant that millions and millions of people are supposed to be gathering together to be all part of this kind of Woodstock-like, you know, fantastic event. I just think it's not a good idea. And then what will happen is in April 8th, 2024, there will be another one that's going to cut through the United States. And if we haven't learned our lesson, in another 6-plus years, there will be another one of these for the United States
sure.
to deal with. Now, the other thing to bring up is people, individuals, if your birthday, for the listeners out there, what is called, everybody's got a solar return or a birthday chart. So when astrologers often do the interpretations for people, I've done that too, you know, for 4-plus decades, people come at their birthday, what's going to happen for the next year of my life because I'm having my birthday, which means the sun is coming back. So everyone born around August 21 or even like the 19th, the 20th, 22nd, this eclipse is hitting their chart. And what that means is instead of just the sun coming back, the moon is tagging along in the same spot so that there's a double sort of what we call both lights are there. Now, that could be very helpful for people. But here's another thing. If people have gotten married, they're celebrating an anniversary on August 21, or a baby was born in their life, or they started a job, or they're going to start a job, you see, or something major is going to happen in their life on that day separate from the eclipse, then that is a birth moment. Like Carl Jung, who studied astrology, he's the one who said, whatever happens at a moment of time has the qualities of that moment of time, the idea that time is a power. It's not just like, oh, let's all go to, you know, have this happen at a certain place in a certain time. There's an energy in astrology. That's why astrologers do birth charts and transits and progressions and interpret people's charts, because it's powerful.
Would you do anything special on this day, which I think is a Monday, isn't it?
I'm going to avoid it. I mean, I'm going to be realistic. I mean, the thing is, I guess because I'm a writer and I'm an astrologer and I'm a researcher, I really am. Look, I write in there that I've never really been a Chicken Little. I don't like to ever say, okay, the sky is falling, things are negative, because I do believe that people have free will, okay, as well as fate. They're two sides of a coin, you know, and there's another saying that's very important in astrology. You can't control what happens to you, but you can always control your response to what happens to you. And I think that's where free will comes in. We don't know what's going to happen. So, like, for instance, the people whose birthdays are around August 21, there's also a lot of celebrities I was looking up and historical people. But not only the people born around August 21, the people born opposite, like the Aquarian sun sign people, February 17, 18, 19, that's directly in the opposition from whatever this eclipse is going to bring. And then there are people born in what we call the square or the right angle, like just thinking geometrically. Those people might be the Taurus sun sign people born like May 18th to May 21, just before Gemini starts.
All right, let me ask you for an astrological prediction, Mark. Okay. That is, on this day,
right,
what do you expect to happen?
I expect that there's going to be the magnificence, part of it across this path of totality. Okay, extraordinary stories like that are going to be amazing, you know, NASA and all this stuff. So there's going to be all kinds of things in real time. And there's also going to be a lot of things that are going to be troubling. I don't want to, you know, I'm
typical day on planet Earth then.
No. And you see, the thing is, because of the encouragement, and I do understand it, we haven't had one across the United States for 99 years. So the last one, again, which was only in the sort of Northwest, was February 26, 1979. That was like 38 years ago.
I mean, you don't think we're going to get zapped by an asteroid or anything crazy like that?
No, I don't think that's going to happen. But like in my article, for instance, and this is an important idea, just like I'm saying, individual people, if your birthday is around that time, if your birthday is opposite, if you're born 3 months before, 3 months after, these are the people who could have more intensity, more friction, more strength, but you have to sort of prepare yourself to say, okay, well, the moon is also here with the sun. What am I going to do with that energy, and how can I use it effectively? But the thing is, the ramifications keep going on for months, particularly, as I'm saying, into Labor Day and into September, and when everybody is coming back from vacation, young kids are starting school, primary school, high schools, kids going off to college, the start of the sports season. All of these things get affected because planets keep moving after the event itself. But I am concerned about things like the financial markets. North Korea's birth chart, you had some information on that earlier. North Korea, which came into being around September 10th, 1948, its chart gets hit by the eclipse point. It's not going to be that the path of totality will affect the landmass of North Korea, but their chart, their astrological chart, has an impact that's very, shall we say, challenging. That could bring up the fears that your guests were talking about earlier. What do we do about the craziness of what's going on with their leader and what they're doing? Israel's chart is also affected, even though the path of totality has nothing to do with them. So could things happen, again, with military moves, fears, you know, particularly the cybersecurity kind of stuff, and just generally criminal activity? I just think people need to be very vigilant close by and in terms of their homes. And also, there are people living in the path of totality. These people are going to be inundated by thousands and thousands of other people that are suddenly going to be in their hometown.
For 2.5 minutes.
No.
And then what do you do with these people after the 2.5 minutes?
Right,
that's my point.
Exactly, but it's more than the 2.5 minutes. See, this is like, oh, the path of totality, but they've got to get into that area.
Right, and then they're going to stay.
And out. And a lot of these people are going to campsites and hotels for a couple of days before.
Okay, but what's wrong with that? You make it sound like it's horrible.
No, I'm just saying that there is a concentration. Okay, let's just say in Los Angeles, right, which has X number. What would greater Los Angeles have, 15 million people?
Who knows?
20. If I said to you there's going to be 200 million people there for a day, what do you?
I'd say it can't accommodate that.
That's what I'm saying is going to happen across the United States. There are already warnings here in the local paper. They wouldn't start warning a month or 2 months on the front page with the.
Well, let's get some of your ideas, Mark, on what do you think people should do if that's going to happen on that day of August 21st, which is not too far away, folks. I can't even believe we're talking about August, but we really are. And then right after that, another week or so, we'll be talking about September and Labor Day as well. Mark Lerner is our special guest. We will take your phone calls next. Maybe you'll do a little reading or two with yourself, time permitting, right here on Coast to Coast AM. And then later on tonight, we've got open lines here on Coast to Coast for you. Every once in a while, we'll do midweek open lines, and that's what we shall do.